Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And this week is the start of November, John, if you can already believe it. We're here wrap up 2021. Now's been the time to support local and to forage for things in your backyard, I guess, for any kind of nature-inspired gifts, I guess.
Horticultural gifts.
But, you know, we're really proud to announce that we had 23 Master Gardener participants complete the classroom component of the Master Gardener training this fall. They were selected for the program that we were able to bring back in a hybrid fashion. So people were able to come into class and visit with the live lecturer for the most part. And if not, they were able to Zoom in every Thursday since September into November. So they've completed 60 hours of classroom training in all different sections and subject matters and areas in horticulture. So congratulations to them.
Congratulations.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're so glad to be able to bring back the class live. That we're just so thrilled that so many folks were able to modify this type of class setting and bring a lot of lectures and specialists to them that we probably wouldn't have in the past. So congratulations again to them. And they're now starting their volunteer hours. So look out for them. Even though the gardens are getting a little quieter right now, they're starting to get their volunteer time in and they'll be full force here in the beginning of 22. With that, I know sometimes we think as far as gardening that early November is pretty much the end of the season for gardening. But on today's show, we'd probably like to talk to you a little bit about different kinds of mulches and some pros and cons of selecting them, incorporating them, and any kind of other amendments that you need to be able to do. And with that, we also have some great links on some calculators that are available that are online that you don't have to be too proficient in math, but you do need some inputs for that. So let's kick it off and talk a little bit about the difference between a mulch and a compost, which is our number one question that we always get. And to answer that, a mulch is material that you're going to lay on the top or the surface of the soil or the ground. And a compost is going to be something that you're going to incorporate. So we talk a lot about composting on the show, but just to talk about mulch types, there's going to be the stuff that you're going to see that's going to be laying on top of the surface. It's going to give a finished appearance to your landscape. There's two different types of mulch types, inorganic and organic types. So let's talk a little bit about organic types of mulch. John?
Okay. You know, one of the things I would point out, the National Wildlife Foundation has got a program with the slogan going, leave the leaves. And, you know, leaves are one of our big organic sources, as well as grass clippings and weeds, and you know, anything that was formerly a plant, you know, helps to break down in the soil and makes a good amendment for the soil. And when it's put in a compost pile, you can make compost out of it. But a lot of times, your compost is, it is an organic source, but it is sometimes real fine and tends to blow around. It'll dry out quick and sometimes cause your soil to become hydrophobic, where the water repels off of those organic pieces rather than absorbing into it. And so wood mulch, which is used a lot and is really encouraged for people to use rather than the finer compost type mulch, but use ground, you know, branches and things like that that are placed on top of the ground. They actually encourage your microbial microbial creatures to interact with the organic wood, help to break it down slowly, but they also help open the soil up and make the soil release nutrients to the plants, you know, that have roots around, helps in water uptake and a lot of good things. So research has shown that the actual fresh wood chips actually is one of the best mulching materials for use in a garden or a landscape. And mulches, of course, keep weeds down, you know, help on water loss through evaporation and moderate the soil temperature so that it's not as hot or as cold as what could be without the mulch. And so it is good to use the mulch. It's just what we have in our area. We're not, you know, we don't have a lot of organic matter available to us because of our low rainfall. So you got to look for areas, and leaves are, of course, one. They can be shredded down so that they aren't as large and don't tend to, you know, lay on top of each other like, you know, like paper or something. So you want to break them up a little bit, and then they can be incorporated on top of the soil as a mulch. We have pecan shells are one that's used a lot. They're fairly dense material, so they don't break down rapidly. So they do work good as a mulch because they'll stay on the surface for a long period of time. And people that have used them, you know, they find that the pecan mulch actually kind of mats together and actually holds together, so it doesn't blow out of the plant beds like some mulches do. So it's a good mulching material to use, and it does have a little bit of sharp edges on some of it, so you don't want to go walking through it with your bare feet. But it is an excellent mulch to use. You know, we don't put organic mulches or inorganic mulches up against the trunk of trees and shrubs. So we like to leave an area, you know, anywhere from 2 inches to 6 inches open away from the trunk of the tree or shrub, so that that area has a chance to dry out, air out, because we don't want to keep a lot of moisture against the trunk of the tree or shrub. Right. So that's kind of the key point. When you water, you can either put your, you know, if you use an irrigation system like a drip system, you can put it underneath your mulch, or you can put it on top of your mulch, either way. But you want to make sure you have your irrigation system set up with your mulch so that when you turn the irrigation system on, the water goes down into the soil, and then the mulch helps to keep the moist soil moisture from leaving as rapidly. So it's very good. Again, we mentioned about bringing the soil microorganisms, bring their population up, gives them something to feed on, and cooler, wet climate, you know, makes for the population, the microbial population, to expand quite rapidly. So those are all good sources. Table scraps and stuff like that are used in the compost pile, not as a mulch by themselves. I mean, people have used newspaper and stuff like that. You have to put several layers on. Then usually you have to put something on top of it to keep it from blowing out of the beds. So you see it more used in vegetable gardens where people might put it down in their walkways and things like that. And newspaper, most of the print now is a soy-based ink, so it breaks down. It's not detrimental to the garden.
Right.
And it just takes a little while for paper to disintegrate and break down. But it's another source that can be used.
Yeah. You
know, stuff like that.
Absolutely. And I think probably the hardest thing to come across now are going to be enough newspapers and magazines, printed materials, to be able to successfully line a significant amount of your garden or landscape. But one item that is readily available to folks is landscape fabric. And that's what you're talking about, is something in between the soil surface and the mulch component. And I know that we got to talk about that. So before we talk a little bit about the landscape fabric, we just want to clarify that in this conversation, inorganic mulch is going to be considered our stones and our river, almost a semi-permanent material. By the time it breaks down, it's going to be another generation or so above that. So that's inorganic and organic mulch. But landscape fabric, let's get back to that. And let's talk a little bit about what's available to the homeowner and some of those pros and cons of applying a landscape fabric prior to a mulch.
The landscape fabrics, there are several out on the market. There's some that are thicker than others. There's some that are more of a plastic material with holes punched in it. You want to be careful of the plastics because they don't allow for water movement and for air movement, air exchange with the roots on your trees and shrubs. So you want a mulch material fabric that is breathable, that allows water to move through it. A lot of times you can get an infiltration rate number from the manufacturer. So you want something that does let water go freely through the, you know, the landscape fabric, so that you're getting, you know, free water from rainfall to go into the root system of your trees and shrubs. So if you have black plastic, which was used many, many years ago in El Paso, and every once in a while we still see it used, it's impermeable to water, to air movement. And so it will actually do detrimental things to your trees and shrubs, like killing off the root system, because it gets no oxygen. You want to use a fabric that does allow that good air exchange. Usually it does need to be what we call stapled down. So there's pins that you can buy from wherever you get your landscape fabric at, and you use that to hold the corners down, hold the sides down until you can get your, maybe your rock or your bark or whatever you're going to put on top of it. The cons are that, you know, here in El Paso, that we do have a lot of blowing dust, a lot of blowing dirt. And over time, some of those landscapes, the rock or the bark, whatever you put on top, the wind blows, the sand catches and then falls directly down. And it keeps doing that. And over time, you build up a soil layer on top of your mulch, which defeats the purpose of the landscape fabric, because you've got a seed bed above the landscape fabric. So you can still get weeds that germinate on top of the landscape fabric. They're easier to pull up because the roots can't go down very deep because the fabric stops them, so they can be pulled up fairly easy. But you will have a lot of weeds that can germinate in that sand, or that's probably one of the biggest detriments to landscape fabric.
And you'd be surprised on how little soil that you need to be able to germinate any kind of weed seed out there. It's surprisingly small. But
we do know,
and it really doesn't. I mean, it does a pretty good job on annuals, keeping the annuals from coming up underneath the fabric, but sometimes hard to kill perennials like nutgrass and Bermuda grass have a very sharp growing point, and they kind of push their way up through the fabric, and all of a sudden they'll be growing on top of the ground. So you just have to go over those on an individual basis and get those knocked out before they become a big problem.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot more to talk about when it comes to mulching and preparing your garden beds as well. And I think we're going to go ahead and continue that with our conversation next week. So we please invite you to join us back again. But if you're into doing some do-it-yourselfer work and wanted to know how much mulch you need to purchase, we will have a link on the Good to Grow page to be able to, for some online calculators to be able to calculate how much you're going to need. So all you need is your area. You need to know what materials and what depth you're going to put in your mulch, and you'll get all that information there for you.
I think some of those calculators, you can actually put your price in. It'll tell you how much it's going to cost you too.
Well, there you go. We have it all for you. So very good. Well, we're out of time today, but we're going to thank you for listening to today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.
Local support for the production of Good to Grow on KTEP comes from the estate of Maxie Templeton.
Really.